again. Good morning, Ascend Church.
Good morning.
That's better. Well, if you would stand with us while we get ready to worship and give our God some praise. How many know he's worthy of all the praise, all the honor, all the glory? We lift you up in this house this morning, Jesus. Come on, church, I want you to lift up a shout of praise in this place. Get excited because we've come to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not time to stand, but to shout and jump. Come on, say.
Fade away. Your love is here to stay by my side.
it's up to us to walk in that and to encounter him every day and to press in and to learn who he is and have that relationship with him and to maintain that. Just know that by faith, it's all by faith. It's not by sight. It's all by faith. So we're just going to sing this. We just know that we're going to see what we need to see in our lives because you, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for breakthrough coming right now in Jesus' name, Father. The breakthrough people are needing right now, you're just doing in Jesus' name. We just worship you, Jesus. Now sing this out in faith. I know. Sing it.
Your presence is an open door. It's such sweet incense. So come now, Lord.
Sing it again.
Like never before.
Let's sing your presence.
Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before.
God, can you hear hungry hearts?
Your presence is an open door.
So come now, Lord. One more time. Never before. Let's get big.
Your presence is an open door. Yes, want you. Breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God, he made me a promise and it won't stop now.
Come on, church, and declare it this morning. Come on.
I know breakthrough is coming.
Come on.
By faith, I see a miracle. My God, he made me a promise and it won't stop now.
Hey!
And I know. Breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. I know breakthrough.
loving. Yes. Yes. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Your eyes, lift your hands, just worship.
And let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song.
Come on, sing it out.
And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Whoa, you are good, you're good. Whoa, and let the King
together. We're going to sing this out from the bottom of our hearts. We're going to let this be the truth this morning, knowing that he's good and he's never going to let us down. Can we sing this together? Come on.
And you're never going to let me down.
Declare this morning.
You're never going to let me down.
I don't know who needs that reminder this morning.
You're never gonna let me down.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're never gonna let me down. You are good. You're good, Jesus. Whoa. You are good. Always good, always good. Whoa. You are good to me, to my family. Oh.
Hallelujah. You know, if that's the only thing you hear this morning, just know that God is good. God is good. No matter what you're facing, no matter how troubling at times circumstances may feel, God is good, and He's not going to let you down. Amen. Anybody agree with me on that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, family, this is where we take a moment and we take a few moments, and we want to give praise for things that God has done in people's lives and for answered prayer. And we're going to have a chance for anyone who needs prayer to be prayed for this morning. So I just want to read a couple of praise reports. One of our members says they gave $3,000 to Ascend Church. And what happened was they had an increase of $880 per month for the rest of their life just came through. How about that? That's awesome. That's a blessing. I tell you. Huh? 2 weeks ago, gave that money, and the benefits just jumped up $880 a week. I mean, a month. Isn't that amazing? And then Dave gave us a testimony about his son getting all kinds of scholarships. And that was awesome. But let me tell you the final result. It says they went through to, he was in the semi-finalists. There were 150 semi-finalists for a scholarship competition, and there were 40 finalists, and he won it. And it wasn't $4,000, it was $32,000. God did over and above. I mean, that's amazing, right? I mean, he was in tears thanking God for what he did, for doing for his kids what he couldn't do. And God's gone over and above and showed up, right? I love it. And then we have another praise report, just thanking God for the blessing of the work that He does that is allowing them to do things together as a family, to plan trips. You know, God cares about all the aspects of our life, and we give praise to Him when we see how He's working in our lives. And then somebody is here for the first time, and they said, they made a new friend. And they made a new friend in one of our members who was in Dunkin' Donuts and invited them to church today. And that's something to thank God for, isn't it? I'll tell you, I made a few new friends in this church. A lot of new friends. And then we're going to go on to our prayer requests. And we have a couple of people that are looking for a new job. Someone's looking for a door to open for a better job. Then we have Angela's mother is going to have a medical procedure on Monday, and we're going to pray. And then somebody else is looking at asking God for debt relief and for relief from the pressure or worry or anxiety. And so there are various things. You may be standing here and you have a prayer request. Let me tell you, prayer is not our last resort, right? It's not our last resort. It should be our first response. So don't wait until your circumstance is in crisis mode before you come before God with it. Do it now. You see there's some issue coming up or there's something that's bothering you. Just come on. Let our prayer team come up. We have a team. Huh? Right now? No, let's come forward right now. We've got if you filled out one of these cards, or even if you didn't today, just come on forward. Our prayer team will be standing right here. They are filled with faith. We are going to stand in agreement with you. So we're going to sing one final song. And if there's something that you need prayer for, come forward and let us pray and stand together with you. If it's over your children, if it's over your health, over your finances, whatever it is, just step on out and we're going to sing one last worship song to the Lord. Thank you.
How many of you know that there's no one like our God? I said, how many of you know that there's no one like the Lord? There's no one who can compare. Amen. Come on, church, let's sing it out together. Lift your voice and lift your hands. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. Let's declare it. Come on, church, let's sing it together.
No one compares to you, God. There's no
Touching your people today. No other hope. Sing it, Bobby.
Just one touch. Just one touch. Yes. Come on. Just sing that and everything changes.
Everything, everything changes. Everything changes.
No.
Let his presence touch you. Yeah. Let him minister to you. Yeah. Let's keep playing that. Oh, we worship you.
Thank you, Lord.
For your presence. Not in a hurry. Your presence is here, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I could stay here forever.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus. Jesus. It's all about you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you.
Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, that's what we desire above everything else. We desire to come before you with our worship today. We've made a choice to enter into your presence with worship, and we thank you for filling this place. Thank you for flooding this place with your spirit. Let no life be untouched today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's good to worship God in the house of the Lord, right? Wonderful. Well, this is our mingle minute. So for those of you who have sat down, why don't you stand up again and let's just take a minute and just meet somebody, chat to them. Wonderful. Well, don't you all look good today? I have a chance to look around, and how wonderful to see you in the house of God. We're so thrilled to have you here with us worshiping together today. Welcome to the live stream audience. We're so glad you've joined us. Welcome to those watching on Facebook. You know, we watch on Facebook, and you don't have to only watch that live. you can actually go ahead and share it at a later date, and you can watch it at a later date. I know that because Pastor Steve watches it all right through. And we are live streaming also at ascendchurch.us. So if you're ever out of town, on our website, you can go ahead and, go ahead and when you see our live stream on Facebook, just like it, because that's or share it, because it's a way of putting the word of God out there. There's some people that before they'll step into a church, they first want to get a feel for what's going on there, right? And so let's do that. And I just want to welcome everyone today. I read a scripture this week which really blessed me. You know, in Romans it says that the gospel is the power of God. But then I read it in the Passion Translation and it says the gospel, which is the message of Jesus, which is the word of God, which we are going to hear today as Pastor gets up and preaches to us. But it says this gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness. So it's not just one revelation. It's like, oh, I heard that about Jesus dying for my sin, rising from the dead. No, it's a continual revelation that comes to us from the word of God. It says what it does, the teaching of the word of God, the revelation that we get week by week as we read the word, it says it moves us from receiving life. So that's where we start. We get saved. We hear the word. We get saved. And that is the power of God. But it doesn't stop there. It says it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. And I love that because every time we're in church and every time we hear the gospel preached or the word of God, it gives us the power of to live by faith. Don't you feel stronger when you walk out of church on a Sunday? I certainly do, and the word of God will do that for us. So I'm expecting today that we're going to be strengthened, filled with the power of the gospel once again, not just to get saved, but to live for God in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't you love the word of God? So one verse can just like jump out at you like that. But I just want to welcome everyone today and especially welcome our visitors. I saw a number of new people today. And thank you to our members who are sometimes we're so self-consumed. What am I going to do today? What is going on in my life? What do I need? What do I have to do? That we don't even notice people around us. That maybe they are looking and they wish that they knew about this church. Or that they could come in into the friendly congregation with the presence of God and get prayed for and hear the word of God. And some of our members this week, you've been so not self-aware. You've been so aware of others around you that you've reached out and invited people. And we applaud you for doing that. That's God's heart. His heart is for people. So we welcome everyone who's visiting for the first time, no matter how you came. Maybe someone invited you, or maybe just like Pastor Steve said, we've had happen all week. People just walk in the door out of curiosity. So if you're here by curiosity or because somebody invited you, you are welcome. We hope that you receive something. We pray that you receive something from the Lord today that blesses your life. Amen. So if you're here for the first time, we'd just like to hand you handsome Aaron is standing there right there with some visitor packs, and he's going to hand. Am I embarrassing you, Aaron? No, you knew it, right? Your mom's been telling you that forever, right? So handsome and strong. Won't you, he's going to be handing out visitor packs. If you are here for the first time, won't you just wave your hand that we can just give you one right where you're sitting. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. There's a few right here. Thank you, Aaron, right here. If he didn't see your hand, just wave it again. Wonderful. We're so glad that you're here. Now, in that pack is a couple of things. One will be a teaching CD from Pastor Steve, which we put in there, hoping will just encourage and uplift you. And there's a white card. Just take it. Fill it out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop it in. And Pastor would love to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for being with us. Amen. And we're going to take a moment in the service today, seeing as I've got the microphone and it's the pastor's. I want to wish him a happy birthday for tomorrow. Is that good? Where's Anna? Come on up here, Anna.
Happy birthday. embarrass you right now and sing happy birthday, but we will sing later. Out there in the foyer, we have a cake and balloons, and so I hope everybody can stay later for his birthday. But I was just encouraged to think about anybody that's been here for a year and Pastor Steve has ministered to you. Anybody in the last year has been ministered to? How about the last 3 years? Anybody been here in the last 3 years been ministered to? How about the last 7 years? Anybody been here for 7 years being ministered to? How about 15 years? Anybody been here 15 years been ministered to? How about 20? Anybody been here 20 years been ministered to? I think, you know, we come every single week and get amazing message that's going to minister to us individually. And we're always amazed when we leave. We're like, wow, how did he know? But we are blessed to have a pastor. There's tons of pastors in the United States of America. But our pastor will not tickle your ears. He will give you the word of God, the uncompromised word of God. You can depend on it. He will stand with you. He will pray with you. He will rejoice with you. He's got your back. He's your covering. As a shepherd, we can be blessed. We can feel secure that our pastor has our back and he's praying for us. And we as a family can rest in that, knowing that Pastor Steve is good to, you know, he's good to be blessed. You know, he's blessing us all the time, praying for us, interceding. He prays in the Holy Ghost for us. Where do you get that? You can't buy that stuff, guys. You can't buy that stuff. So I want to read a couple of scriptures. I'm going to try to find this on my phone here. But there's a scripture that talks about in 1 Timothy 5:17. It said, the pastors who lead the church well should be paid well. They should receive double honor for faithfully preaching and teaching the revelation of the word of God. Hello. How does that sound? Okay, and then another version of that same scripture says, give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Scripture tells us, don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. That's 1 Timothy 5:17, 18. How many of you buy your natural father a birthday present when it comes time for his birthday? Who would not buy your natural father a birthday present? I mean, if we can do that, this is our spiritual father. We have an opportunity to bless him. You know, October came and went because October was actually Pastor's Appreciation Month. But because of all the craziness that was going on in this building, and it was a lot to, there was no more money to be asked for. But anyway, we missed that. And so now it's March 4th. It's his birthday tomorrow. And so we want to be able to honor him and bless him. These are envelopes in your seat. There may be different color ones, and there's a little note. And just give him, jot down a note while you're in the service today. Put some cash in, put a check in. You know, when we sow into others' lives or sow into a prophet or a minister of God, God is watching us, you know, and they will be poured back into us. I know that. He's been proven over and over again. So be generous today. Pastor Steve loves clothes and shoes and things like that, so I'm sure he has a birthday list. So anyway.
Oh, thanks. Anna knows you. What can I say? And I wanted her up here because we matched today. Praise God. Are we done? Thank you.
Now I am. Thank you, Anna, so much for that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to see you today. Welcome, as you've heard, to Ascend Church. I got a chance to meet a couple of new folks this morning, and I want to thank all of you who invited people to church. I met Jerry, and he got here early. He was here like at 9:20, and he said, I was invited by Nick. We met each other at Dunkin' Donuts, And I was invited by Nick, and then two ladies earlier, Gail and a friend, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, forgive me, but we met just now, and they said to me, Joanna has been talking about your church for the last 2 days, and so thanks Joanna for inviting someone, and hand me that, just to let you know, we have these invite cards. They're in the seat back in front of you or on your seat. They're called Elevate. And our mission is simple. It's to help elevate people's lives that they would become everything God destined for you to be. That's our mission. So I want to encourage you to take a couple of these cards and invite somebody this week to come to church. You know, the Lord has changed your life. He's changed my life. And the Lord wants to transform the lives of people all across this city. Amen? Amen. So thank you for doing that, using that card. That is great. And then I want to also say we had a wonderful volunteer. So we call them our servant leaders. We had a servant leaders meeting. We do so every Sunday at 9:15. I want to thank everybody who came. We want to thank all of our volunteers who serve in the house of God. We really appreciate you. Give them a big round, all of our volunteers who serve. We couldn't do this without you. We are a team. On Friday night, we had a training for our production team. And that the production team back there, they run the screens and the lights and the sound and everything like that, the cameras and the live stream. And so we had a training session, and we had 6 new people join our production team. So we're excited about that. Amen? So thank you for serving, everybody. Praise God. Are you ready for God's Word? Before I do that, I've got to mention that this Wednesday night, we are starting our brand new Growth Track. Now, Growth Track is where you will discover God's purpose for your life. It's going to run for 4 Wednesday nights starting at 7 p.m. Everybody say 7 p.m. Now, the reason that I emphasize that is because everybody asks me, what time is Growth Track? 7 p.m. will be finished by 8:30. And I want to really encourage you, if you consider Ascend Church as your home, to be there on Wednesday night. And in actual fact, even if you're first time, if it's your first time today, you're welcome to join us if you want to discover God's purpose for your life and grow in the knowledge of God. Come join us on Wednesday night. We're going to be filming this. We're going to be using it because in the future, Growth Track is going to run on a Sunday after service every single week. So the first Sunday's Growth Track session 1, the second Sunday of the month is session 2, and then the third Sunday session 3, and then, of course, the fourth Sunday session 4, so that if a person comes to our church for the very first time, they can jump onto Growth Track immediately. And so some of it will be by video, some of it will be by live hosts, but we're going to be filming Wednesday night. I want to encourage you, please, to be here. People have said to me, well, Pastor Steve, if I did the Christian Growth Seminar, do I still need to do Growth Track? Yes, because it's a totally different class and a different course. It's totally different to the Christian Growth Seminar. This is our new membership class. So please will you sign up. The ushers have these sign-up cards, Growth Track. I'm telling you about it now so that you can get a card, fill it out during service, and then later on when the offering time comes, you can put your card into the offering. So if you haven't filled out a card to be here on Wednesday in Growth Track, raise your hand right now. We're going to get one to you. Put it up high. Hold it up high. Thank you, ushers. If you haven't filled out a card, please fill out a card now and come join us on Wednesday night. Move things around that you have to move around. This is really important. If Ascend Church is your spiritual home, you really need to be here on Wednesday for Growth Track. We will have childcare as well. Childcare will be available. And Growth Track will start at 7 and we will be finished by 8:30 on Wednesday night for 4 Wednesday nights. Amen? Amen? All right, can we pray before we get into God's Word this morning? Is that all right? Amen. Father, we thank you that you are so good, Lord, and you are so faithful. We thank you that you love us so much, that you came to this earth to redeem us, to bring us into your family. We thank you, Lord, today that you've given us your Word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, whom you've sent to be our teacher. And Holy Spirit, I'm looking to you today. I'm trusting you to help me, to enable me, to speak through me today. I thank you that you will speak to every person here, that your Word will go forth into every person's heart and bring transformation in our life, Lord, that we would become everything you've destined us to be. And we give you alone all of the praise, all of the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. This morning I want to speak about prune for promotion. Say prune for promotion. You know, we all go through times where it feels like we're moving backwards. You know, we were doing so good. Business was strong and our family was happy and we knew we had God's favor. But then things turned. Maybe we lost a major client, or maybe our child didn't get that scholarship, or maybe a friend walked away from us and we wonder what happened, what did we do wrong? Listen, just because you're having difficulties and things that you don't understand does not mean that you are not in God's will. God is ordering our footsteps. Can you say amen? And sometimes God will order a cutback. Just like there are seasons of growth, there are also seasons of pruning. And without the pruning, we will not become everything that we were created to be. And God will not allow a cutback if it's not going to eventually work for your good. It may be uncomfortable and you may not understand it. You lost a contract, you lost a relationship, you lost an opportunity. Listen, God wouldn't have let you lose that if he wasn't going to give you something better. Can you say amen, everybody? He may have pruned a friend out of your life. Listen, there's a better friend coming. You might have lost a job. There's a better job on the way. You might have suffered a setback in your health. Better health is in your future. Don't be discouraged by the cutback, family. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And some translations say he is the gardener, the farmer. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, another translation, the New Living Translation, says he cuts off. And that makes sense. When we have things in life that are not productive, maybe a friend pulling us down or a job that's leading nowhere, he will cut those things away so that we can put our attention and our focus on the things that are moving us forward. We can understand losing something that's not adding value. But then Jesus goes on to say, he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, notice that, every branch that is bearing fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Amen. Are you with me, the family? Yep. The only way to go from fruit to more fruit is to be cut back, is to be pruned. And there are times in life, family, where we will lose something and it doesn't make sense to us. You may be going to your job with a great attitude, helping others, faithfully raising your children. You're doing the right thing, but the wrong thing happens. Instead of being discouraged, instead of slacking off and losing your passion, you got to recognize this is a pruning season. Without that cutback, you won't see new growth. And you may be satisfied to stay where you are, but let me tell you, you say, well, I don't want to be uncomfortable, Pastor Steve. I don't want to rock the boat. But God is not satisfied. God loves you too much to let you miss your destiny. God has new levels in front of you, family. Will you trust him in the cutback season? Will you keep doing the right thing in times of pruning? When things have gone backwards? When you could be discouraged? Jesus said this in verse 4. He said, abide in me. Say abide. Abide. Tell your neighbor, abide. Abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The Passion Bible says it like this: unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. If you want to bear fruit, you got to stay joined and abiding in Jesus, the vine. Amen? In verse 5, he goes on, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Say, much fruit. Now we got fruit, we got more fruit, and we got much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen? The Passion Bible says it like this: as you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Do you know if you will stay connected and abiding in Jesus, fruitfulness will pour forth from you? Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withers, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Do you know that prayers answered is fruit in your life? Because he said, if you abide in me, whatever you ask, you're going to receive it, that you may bear much fruit. Jesus, in this passage, Jesus talks about fruit, he talks about more fruit, and he talks about much fruit. The way to increase is simply by abiding in him. What Jesus was saying to us, when things happen that you don't understand, when things happen that don't make sense to you, when you could be bitter, when you could slack off, instead, if you'll trust me, if you believe I'm still directing your steps, if you'll praise me even when it's not fair, if you'll stay faithful when you could be frustrated, if you will abide, family, that means you keep doing the right thing. You keep spending time in prayer to God. You keep reading your Bible. You keep coming to church. You keep serving. You keep giving. You keep being good to people. Family, you keep on expecting God's favor. Then you are abiding. You are passing the test, and you'll come into the more fruit. When you prove to God you can be faithful in the cutback seasons, family, he will release you into much fruit. He'll take you where you couldn't go on your own. But we're not going to see these new levels without going through seasons of losing things that we don't understand, seasons that are uncomfortable, seasons where what worked in the past is not working now. Listen, don't be discouraged. The cutback season, it's all part of the process. It's a sign new growth is coming. Are you with me, family? My brother-in-law Dennis was working at Sears. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Sears just recently went bankrupt. And so they declared bankruptcy. So he was let go. And for 3 months, he couldn't find a job. And he was tempted to get discouraged. But, you know, I told him what I'm telling you is that you had a cutback season. That wasn't a surprise to God. Now, whether you stay there or not depends on what you do. If you get bitter and complain and talk about how bad life is, you'll get stuck where you are. But when you recognize that cutback is a sign that new growth is coming, that more fruit is in your future, that God's getting you prepared for new levels, and you make this decision, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe that you are in control, that you are guiding my footsteps. Then things are going to change in your favor. You're going to see new doors begin to open. Can you say amen? A couple of weeks ago, Dennis was offered two jobs in the same field. He just started a great new job, and he's going to be making almost twice what he was making at Sears. And you know what? The great thing is, he used to have to work every Sunday, and now he only has to work every other Sunday. I'm believing God that it's going to come where he doesn't have to work any Sundays. If you say, Pastor Steve, well, I have to work on Sundays. Well, why don't you pray and believe God to give you a job that you don't have to work on Sundays? I was talking to someone yesterday on the phone. He was all discouraged, a young man. And he said, I just found out my roommate is moving. He's going to get married with his girlfriend, and he's moving away, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I said, listen, don't be discouraged. That pruning, that cutback is a sign God's got something better up ahead of you. Don't let the cutback fool you, family. The enemy did not get control of God's pruning shears. The enemy did not overthrow God, and now he's directing your steps. God is still in control. And you may not like the cutback. It may not make sense to you. But family, this is what faith is all about. Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I know you wouldn't have allowed it if you didn't have a purpose. So I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm not just going to come out, but I'm going to come out of this better than what I was before. I wonder, family, how many times are we fighting against what God has ordained? And I believe in standing against sickness and addictions and dysfunction, but not every difficulty is the enemy. It's the gardener. God prunes us. He cuts things back, not to limit us, but to get us prepared for new growth, for the new season. Are you discouraged today over something that you lost, something that didn't work out, thinking the enemy's hindering me? When in fact, it's the hand of God. I think sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. Do you know he can't touch you without God's permission? We believe God is directing our steps when good things are happening. It's easy to thank God in the harvest season, the growing season, the promotion season. But in the pruning seasons, family, you got to dig down deep, because your praise in the cutback season carries more weight than in the harvest season. Did you hear what I said to you? You're not only showing God you trust Him, but God is doing a work in you. Your character is being developed. Your spiritual muscles are getting stronger. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We may not like the pruning seasons, but God is the gardener. He knows when to cut something back or we'll get stuck. He's not going to cut something back without giving you more in return. I dare you to trust Him. When we bought our house back in 2001, I planted some bushes along the fence around the, we're on a corner lot, and we have neighbors on the other side, but I planted these I think they're called cocoa plum. It's like it forms a hedge. I wanted to block the view, you know, and make this big thick hedge so you can't see through it. And I planted these, and I was constantly going out there and checking every day. I was watering them and checking their growth. And, you know, one day, just move on from me, one day they were growing really good. But after about 6 months, our landscaping company, they said to me, it's time to trim the trees and trim the bushes. And they asked if it was okay, and I said, yes, but don't touch the bushes around the fence, because I'm trying to get them to grow. And he said to me, okay, but they're not going to grow like they should. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, when we prune them, it stimulates new growth. If we don't cut them back, they won't grow as tall and thick like they should be. Now, I'm not a gardener. I thought just the opposite. I thought they're growing, they're doing good, don't bother them, leave them alone. But the gardener knew if he didn't bother them, if he didn't take them through a cutback, it would actually limit their growth. Wow. Next year they wouldn't be where they could be if he trimmed them. Is any gardeners in the house? Is this true what I'm saying? Let me tell you, God is your gardener. And God is not going to cut you back without a purpose. He's not going to prune you if it's not leading to more fruit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It may not make sense to you, and you may feel like you're going in the wrong direction, but God knows what He's doing, family. My landscaper said to me, let me trim them and watch where they'll be next year. You'll be surprised how big and full they are. Well, today, they're 10 feet tall. Now I've got to be trimming them, because our limit in our neighborhood is 10 feet, and they grow so fast. Listen, you might have been cut back, but God is saying to you, watch where you're going to be next year. Watch the people that are going to come into your life. Watch the new opportunities, the new doors that I'm about to open for you. That's what the Lord is saying to you today. Let me tell you, you know, you won't be complaining about the cutback. You'll be saying, Lord, thank you for pruning me. Thank you for getting me prepared. Thank you for taking me to new levels. Thank you for cutting that out of my life. Amen. But you see, but what I want us to see is that the pruning is not because you've done something wrong. It's not because God forgot about you. It's a test. Will you abide in Him? Will you stay in faith? Will you trust Him? Yes, the pruning seasons are not comfortable. We don't like it. But it's all part of the process. It's what leads us to the much fruit. But you can't get to the much fruit without being cut back and pruned. Amen? If you don't understand this, you'll be frustrated. You'll be like, Pastor Steve, I come to church every Sunday. I'm a volunteer. I'm always cheering people up. Now I'm the one who's down. I had a bad break. Listen, that's not the enemy trying to stop you. That's God getting you prepared for new levels. Do you know the Apostle Paul never prayed that God would remove his difficulties? He prayed that God would give him strength to endure whatever came his way. In Philippians 1 verse 30, he said, for you have been called by Him to endure the conflict in the same way I have endured it. For you know I'm not giving up. Paul said, no matter what we face, I'm not giving up. And we, family, have to have the same attitude. In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 9, listen to Paul's prayer. He prayed, he said, be assured that from the first day we heard of it, we haven't stopped praying for you. What did he pray? We're asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to His will, and acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. And he went on to say, we pray that you'll live well for the Master, making Him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard, as you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. And then it says you'll become fruit-bearing branches. That's the passion. And it says in verse 11, we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives you. Paul said, we pray that you'd have strength to endure. It is a strength that endures, verse 12 says, that it endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Notice, Paul prayed that they would have the strength to endure whatever may come against them. And if we could pray away the cutback season, let me tell you, Jesus would have done it. But the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured, family. There's some things we have to endure. And the way to do it is to know it's not permanent. The way to do it is to know I'm coming out of this better than before. Yeah. Keep reminding yourself this cutback is leading to new growth in my life. Yeah. In Romans 8, in verse 18, the scripture says, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Let me tell you, whatever difficulty is coming against you, it's nothing in comparison to what God is about to do in your life. Can you say amen? In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, the scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. Let me tell you, God wants you to live with hope, that's expectation, and to endure whatever may come against you. Because if God is for me, then what can stand against me? Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and we excel in every season by serving the Lord because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. Family, I don't know about you, but I want some fruit that endures in my life, don't you? And finally, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6 says, when we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it, no doubt about it. When you stand strong in the good times and in the hard times, I'm telling you right now, you're coming out of it. You're going to make it. And you know what's interesting to me is that God cuts us back when we're bearing fruit. Not when we're off course doing something wrong. Those that bear fruit, he prunes that they can bear more fruit. When we're doing things right, when good things are happening. Now, I could have taken the pruning shears and thought to myself, I'm going to save some money this year. I'm going to trim my own trees. The problem is, I don't know where to prune, and I don't know when to prune. Are you with me? That would be dangerous in my hands. Some plants need to be cut back in the spring, others in the fall. Sometimes you have to skip a season. Pruning shears in the wrong hands can be detrimental. I could have good intentions and cut at the wrong time and the wrong place and damage my trees, do more harm than I would good. Well, here's the good news. God is your gardener. He's the only one who can prune you. He is the one who's in control of your cutbacks. When Satan wanted to test Job, he couldn't go in and get the pruning shears and do whatever he wanted. He had to ask God for permission. Isn't that right? When you go through a cutback or a loss, things you don't understand, remind yourself, God has the pruning shears. He's not going to prune me to where I end up with less. No, with less joy, less strength, less resources. That may happen temporarily, but if you'll keep on abiding, that cutback is leading to more fruit. Family, God wouldn't have allowed it. He wouldn't have allowed it if he wasn't going to bring you out better, stronger, wiser, with new growth in your life. You may be in a cutback season right now. You may be wondering how you went from doing great to where you are right now. You were being your best. Looks like you've lost ground. Yes, but that loss is not permanent. That's what I want you to see. What you can't see is that cutback is setting you up for new levels. You're about to come into a season of much fruit, a season where you see increase like you've never seen before. good breaks, promotion, new relationships, better than what you ever imagined. God's about to do above and beyond what you could have imagined. You know, when we lost our building on Center Street, we used to have a building on Center Street. I'll be honest, it didn't feel good when we lost that building. It was a cutback. I didn't understand it. It didn't seem like a good thing at the time. It seemed permanent at the time. But about 8 months after we lost that building, I got a call from Joe Siegel. He seen a commercial we had on television, and he said, I'd like to meet with you. I have a building for you. You're not going to need a bank. He said, you're not going to need a down payment. I own the building. I'm going to finance it for you. And folks, here we are in a better building, in a better location. And do you know that our mortgage on this building is half what we were paying on Center Street? We got a better building, everything's brand new, we're in a better location, and our mortgage is half. You know what I say now? Lord, thank you for cutting me back. Thank you for opening new doors. I never dreamed that would open. Thank you for ordering my steps, Lord. You see, that cutback that you're disappointed with now, if you will keep on abiding, if you will keep on thanking God, if you will keep on being your best, one day you'll look back and you'll say like me, Lord, I want to thank you. Your ways are better than my ways. You could see things that I couldn't see. You've got to trust him in the cutback season. Believe he's still directing your steps. Remember, he's got the pruning shears. The enemy can't cut you back. God has a hedge of protection about you. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, it says God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And what did God say? He said, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. And so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. And when they arrived at the place where God told him to go, Abraham built an altar and he arranged the wood on it. And then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. As Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice, at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son. Now, Isaac was in his late teens by this time, 18, 19. And we saw where he carried the wood for a fire, for the fire. So he's not just a, you know, he's not a little baby, he's not a little boy. He could have resisted getting up on that altar. He could have resisted letting his father tie him up. Might have been a little suspicious. What are you doing, Dad? Well, I want you to lie down on that. I'm going to tie you up. How many of you know he could? Abraham's 120. He could have overpowered him. But he was willing to go through with it. You know why I believe one reason is? Because he knew the knife was in the right hands. Because he trusted his father. And when you understand the pruning shears are in your heavenly father's hands, when you know that he won't cut you back without a purpose, and you know that whatever he prunes away is just temporary, is so that he can bring you out with more fruit, with more growth. Then like Isaac, you won't fight the cutback season. You won't be bitter. Oh, God, I don't understand it. I was doing my best. Why did this happen to me? Listen, family, you trust your father. You know he's in control of the cutbacks. He wouldn't have taken you backwards if he wasn't going to bring you out with much fruit. Yeah. I've learned God's idea of much is very different to our idea of much. You may think you're blessed right now, but let me tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. You should see what God has in store for you. I never thought growing up in Edenvale, a little town in South Africa, that one day I'd be here in beautiful Jupiter pastoring this church. But let me tell you, what brought me here wasn't necessarily the good times. It was the cutbacks. It was the things that I didn't understand. But in all those times that it didn't make sense, I've learned to trust the one who has the pruning shears. I know the enemy cannot cut me back, so I've done my best to just keep on abiding, keep on being faithful when I felt like being frustrated, doing the right thing when the wrong thing was happening. Listen, family, thanking God through the disappointments, through the loss, through the times that didn't seem fair. If you will keep abiding in Him, I want to tell you at some point, you're going to come out of the cutback season and you're going to come into a growing season. You're going to come out of not having enough into having more than enough. How many of you know Steve Jobs, the creator of Apple, one of the most brilliant minds of our generation? He founded Apple Computer. Do you know that as Apple grew larger and larger, became more successful over the years, Steve Jobs had a lot of conflict with his board, and eventually they voted him out. He was fired from the company that he founded. It didn't seem fair. He could have been bitter. He could have been upset. Instead, you know what he did? Does anyone know what he did? He went and started another company, Tom. He went and started another company. It became so successful that a few years later, Apple bought his company and brought him back and put him in charge of everything. Steve Jobs said this. He said, if I had not been fired by Apple, I would have never developed these skills that made me into who I am today. Let me tell you, God knows what He's doing, family. He's not going to let you be cut back without a purpose. It may look like a bad break, but if you keep the right attitude, you'll see how it will work to your advantage. He knows when to take something away, not to limit us, to promote us. If that person left you, it wasn't an accident. Their part in your story was over. God pruned them. Now keep on moving forward. If that project didn't last, it wasn't supposed to. God closed the door. Don't sit around discouraged, thinking, poor old me. Like Steve, you're being pruned to bear much fruit in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Get ready for the new thing God's about to do. Get ready for new levels of favor. Get ready for new levels of abundance. Amen? Amen. I heard Joel Osteen. I love Joel Osteen. I always am so encouraged and built up when I watch and listen to him. And I heard him tell the story about his dad. His father's name was John Osteen. And John Osteen, in the 1950s, he was a pastor of a denominational church. It was a thriving church. They had just built a beautiful new building. They had 700 members. Now, in the 50s, 700 members, that was a huge church. It was a big deal. He was on the state board for his denomination. His future looked very bright. But then, Joel's sister, her name is Lisa, she was born with something similar to cerebral palsy. And John started searching out the scriptures. And he saw that God is a healer. And how the Lord wants us to live a blessed, victorious life. And he thought his congregation would be so excited about his new message of faith and victory. But it was just the opposite. It didn't fit in with their denominational teaching. There was a lot of opposition. And they ended up asking him to leave the church. He was devastated. They had lifelong friends that never spoke to them again. It didn't make sense. It didn't seem fair. He could have been bitter. He could have been, Lord, why did this happen? I was being my best. Why did I go backwards? But he understood that every branch that bears fruit will be cut back. Not to stay at a loss, not to live defeated, but for one reason, so that they can bear more fruit in their life. Sometimes the favor of God is disguised as a cutback. I said, sometimes the favor of God is disguised as a cutback. This building you're sitting in is a demonstration of the favor of God. God gave me favor with a Jewish man named Joe Siegel. He comes to church here quite often. He was here 2 weeks ago. He's been here many times. He was here 2 weeks ago. I said, Joe, good to see you. He spoke to my wife, and we asked about his wife. And he said, my wife's playing tennis. He said, she does what she loves on Sunday, and I do what I love. Is that amazing? That's the favor of God. Sometimes the favor of God is disguised as a cutback. It takes maturity to distinguish between the enemy trying to stop you and the gardeners at work in my life. Too often we're discouraged over what God has ordained. Instead of being sour, Joel's parents, John and Dodie Osteen, they went and they started Lakewood Church, 1959. They didn't have a beautiful new sanctuary. They had an old rundown feed store. Can you imagine what Pastor John was thinking. He's just gone from a brand new facility. Now he's in a feed store where they feed store food, right, for animals. They didn't have 700 people. They had 90 people. It was a cutback. It looked like they were going the wrong direction. Let me tell you, there are times that God will take you backward before he thrusts you forward. When I was 19 years old in South Africa, I worked for a Lebanese man. His name was Norman Backos, the Backos brothers. And they had furniture stores. And I was 19. And I remember he would tell me all the time. It was one of his favorite things to tell me. He would say, sometimes, Steve, you got to take a step backwards so that you can take two steps forward. Sometimes you got to take one step back so that you can take two steps forward. You see, that cutback season is a test. God is seeing, what are you going to do when you have a bad break? It didn't work out. You worked hard, but the business didn't make it. You were good to that person, but they walked away. What you do in the pruning seasons will determine whether or not you stay there or whether you come out of it better than before. Joel's parents, they just kept on abiding. They just kept on giving. They just kept on serving. They just kept on loving. They didn't focus on what they didn't have. They thanked God for what they did have. And this didn't happen overnight. But just like God promised, they went from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Of course, today, Lakewood is a church, maybe the largest or second largest church in America. Thousands and thousands of people still going strong today. Let me tell you, we've had some cutbacks in our church, but I believe we're stepping into a new growth season, family. I believe we're stepping into a new growth season. If you agree, give God praise today. We all want the much fruit. But the question is, are we willing to go through the process where we do the right things in the time of pruning, when things don't make sense? You know, Joel's father, John Osteen, would have never come into the much fruit if he had not had that cutback. If his denomination, his church, hadn't kicked him out, there wouldn't be a Lakewood church today. He would have never become all that God created him to be. That's why God pushed him out. We wouldn't be in this building if we hadn't lost Center Street. Sometimes, family, God will close a door because he's got something better. God's dream for your life is much bigger than your dream for your life. His idea of much is very different from our idea. I'm asking you to trust him in the cutback season, family. We're not going to understand everything that happens along the way, but God knows what's best for us. That's why the scripture tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are beyond anything that you could imagine. He said, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Family, you may be in a time of pruning right now. You may have had some cutbacks. You may feel like you're going in the wrong direction. You may be feeling kind of discouraged. You got to recognize today God is getting you in position for new growth in your life, for new doors to open in your life, for new relationships in your life. He wouldn't have pruned you if he didn't have something better. You got to do your part. Keep on abiding. Keep on abiding. Keep on thanking him. Keep on trusting him. Keep on seeking him. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep on coming to church. Keep on serving. Keep on giving. Keep on reaching out to others. Keep on staying faithful, because if you will, let me tell you, family, in the name of Jesus, I declare over you today that cutback, it is not permanent. You're about to come into much fruit. Abundance is coming. Promotion is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. The fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. I declare it. If you receive it today, say amen. Amen. Say that's for me. Say that's for me. You know, it's amazing because I never thought I would preach this kind of a message. But over the last 3 years, what I'm speaking to you about is what has happened in my life. We had some cutbacks, but I thought it was to our detriment, but it actually worked out to our advantage. Wait and see what the Lord is doing in this church, family. Wait and see what God's about to do. In the name of Jesus, let me tell you, this service very soon is going to be totally packed out. Not only that, we're going to go to a second service, and that's going to be filled up. And then we're going to go to a third service, and that's going to be filled up. Then we're going to have a Spanish service, and that's going to be That's going to be the popping service. I'm telling you, the Spanish service, man. And all the Spanish people said,
amen.
Come on. Huh? Yes. What did they say? Yodi adios. Yodi adios. My Spanish is getting better. Praise the Lord. Do you get something out of this morning? Come on, give God thanks and praise. Get something out of this morning. I want to encourage you, family. If you feel like, you know, something's been cut, maybe you suffered a loss, a setback, keep trusting God because He's setting you up. He's setting you up for more fruit, much fruit. Amen. Why don't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Just bow your head. Just close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for every person who's here this morning. I thank you, Lord, no one is here by any accident. I thank you, Father, that you are the gardener. I thank you, Lord, that you want what is best for us. I thank you, Lord, that sometimes you prune us and cut things away so that we can see more growth, more increase, more blessings, more doors open in our life. Lord, I thank you that your plan for our life is for good. Lord, your plan for our life is for good. And Lord, I pray for every person here today. I thank you for guiding them. I thank you for leading them. I thank you for your favor around them. I thank you for opening new doors. I thank you for giving them wisdom, Father. I thank you for giving them strength to endure whatever may come against them. I thank you, Lord, if you are for us, then who can be against us? I thank you the forces that are for us are greater than the forces that are against us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. While you have your eyes closed, I want to pray also, if there's anyone here this morning, if you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, listen, dear friend, I want to ask you a question. And here's the question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely sure of that. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you certain that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because the good news is you can be certain of it. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed in your life is forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Dear friend, heaven is real. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are sitting right now, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and God. If that is you, won't you quickly right now just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. Just lift it up high. Pray for me. Include me in that prayer, Pastor Steve. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Praise God, everybody. Look up at me for a moment if you would. Thank you. As my wife is going to come forward right now, and she's going to just take a couple of minutes and receive our offering, I just want to mention to you that we are trusting the Lord today. I want to let you know where we are. When you came in, I don't know if you noticed that we had our members, we got some more signs done on the door and on the front door and the restroom sign. Did you notice that? Did you notice the counter out there that was finished? Well, some good news is we got another counter coming. It's going to be a help counter and another counter for our children's church. And the gentleman, Pablo, that we bought the countertops in the bathroom, I spoke to him this week. He said, Pastor Steve, I've got two counters. I'm going to give you the granite for free. He's going to drop off two countertops for free. So we'll have another counter going in the lobby and another one going in the kids' church. That's worth quite a few thousand dollars. So praise God for that. But I just want to let you know, family, that that this week I've been informed we have to put panic bars on all the doors, all the doors going out the building, by code, we are required, we have to put on panic bars. There's like 11 or 12 doors that we have to do. And so I had Chris, our general contractor, sitting back there, Chris Birch. He's working in another, he's helping another church in West Palm Beach. They're also renovating. And he said, I found the best price for the panic bars. I said, how much will they be? They came and quoted, the panic bars are going to be $4,000. So I thought, wow, that's a lot of money. So I called another company to come in, and another guy came in this week, and his quote was $10,000. So Chris, I guess your quote was a lot better than the one I got. So we have to do that this week. I just want to let you know, this week, we've got to put all the panic bars on. We are required to do it. It's $4,000. And we also have our mortgage due, which is $12,500 this week. So this week, we're trusting God, we're going to pay $16,500 this week before we pay anybody, any of our staff, or anything else. That's what we've got to do. So what I'm, you say, Pastor Steve, what are you saying? I'm saying, what does the Lord want us to do in offering time? He expects that we all would tithe everything that we've been blessed with this week. The tithe belongs to Him. I'm asking you to be faithful to tithe, and I'm asking you to give as you are able to. I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but give as you are able to. I want you to be aware of what we're believing for this week. Amen? Now, really, as our church grows, family, and as more people come, how many of you know the more people that come, we have more people to help contribute toward God's house?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm encouraging you. We want people to be saved. We want people to be brought into the kingdom of God. But also, the larger our church gets, the easier it is for us to do all these things.
Amen.
So thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. Pastor Jill, you go ahead and
I want to just take a couple of minutes and just share a point from the Word of God with you. As we prepare to give, there are envelopes on the seats where you are. There are various ways that come up on the screen here for you to give. You can give by debit or credit, just however you'll see it up on the screen. But I want to say this. Do you know that there are, in the Bible, which is our handbook, right? There are 280 verses on love. And there are 336 verses on faith. And there are 508 verses on prayer. Saving you a lot of study time here. I'll just tell you. But do you know that there are 2,350 verses on money? You know that's 15% of the Bible. So sometimes people get uncomfortable when you start talking about money in church. God was not uncomfortable to talk about money. It's a big part of our lives. Amen? And I just want to just give us a couple of points here, because sometimes we face lack in our lives. I want to tell you something that the Bible says about lack. The first reason that there could be for lack is ignorance. The Bible says in Hosea 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why Pastor Steve and I like to teach on whatever subject. It's no use to say God wants you healed, but rather to teach you how, you know, what God says in His word about it, because then you're not ignorant anymore. You can have faith. So it's the same in the area of lack. If you are ignorant about the word of God on the subject, then you might experience lack, right? Second of all, a reason for lack would be an unteachable spirit. That's somebody who says, when you start to talk about money, they shut off. When you start talking about tithing, they're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. Church just wants to get my money. But Proverbs 13 says this, poverty and shame will come to him who refuses instruction and discipline. So poverty and shame are attached to someone who doesn't want to be instructed in this area. Another reason for lack is laziness. You know, we can't go around saying, oh, I'm trusting God, meet all my needs, and then we're laying at the beach all day. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich, right? A misfortune. Sometimes people go through things in their life, and that causes lack. But do you know, like, there was a widow woman in the Bible in 1 Kings 17, and she had misfortune. There was famine. It wasn't her fault that she had lack in her life. And maybe you may be experiencing lack, and it's not your fault. But the good news was that when she honored God in that situation, He brought her out of it, right? And then I want to come to the one that stood out to me this week. And one of the main reasons for lack in our life
is withholding. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 24, there is one who scatters, like a farmer sowing seed, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but that leads to poverty. Do you know withholding leads to poverty? The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. So withholding from God, the Bible says, causes lack in our life. Now, we've been instructed, so we're not ignorant, so we know what the Word says about this. God wants to bless us, but we sang it, God is good, all the things God wants to do for us, but if we withhold from him our tithe and our offering, we set the wrong principle in motion, the principle of poverty and lack in our life. I heard someone say that this week, and it jumped out of me. I had to write it down. It says, what we compromise to keep, we will ultimately lose. So we think, well, you know, I've got to hold on to everything I have. If I give 10% to the Lord, if I give what he's telling me to do, I'm going to not have enough. But it's the opposite way around, right? Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Say this, say first fruits. That means it comes before anything else, right? Priority. Say all your increase. So that means that wherever God blesses me, I honor him first from that, right? It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That doesn't sound like lack to me. That sounds like abundance when we follow God's word. I'll just end by saying this. John D. Rockefeller, you ever heard that name? You hear the word Rockefeller, the name Rockefeller, and you think of dollar signs, don't you? Bags of gold, like money. And he says this. He said, I have tithed on every dollar that God has entrusted to me. That's quite something to say. He's tithed on every dollar. He said, and I want to say to you that I could never have tithed on my first million if I had not tithed on my first salary of $1.50 a week. So that's where it begins, family. It begins where we are. We're all trusting God for big things, but you've got to be faithful with the little things. Until we're faithful with the little things. So everything, God blesses me. You know, people may bless Pastor Steve today for his birthday. 10% immediately of that off the top goes to God. It's like whatever the increase, it goes to God. Amen? And so I'm just giving you a little taste of teaching so we don't be ignorant and walk in areas of lack when God wants us to walk in a place of abundance. Amen? So as you prepare to give this morning, thank you for your giving. We appreciate it. Those watching online, you can just click and give. Even on Facebook, you can do that. And we're going to pray. Will you pray? Sure. Go ahead and do that.
Sure. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray. I just want to also mention, Wednesday night at the Growth Track, we're going to be having prayer at 6 p.m. Pam and her prayer team, and you're welcome to join. So at 6 o'clock, you're going to pray, and the Growth Track starts at 7, correct? Hold that offering up to the Lord today. Will you do that? Hold that envelope up to the Lord. We're going to pray. The Bible says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And it says, prove me now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that you will not have room enough to contain it, and I will rebuke the devourer. Father, I thank you that as your people honor you with the tithe and with the offering, I thank you that you open the windows of heaven and you pour blessings upon them and you protect them supernaturally. I thank you as they give, Lord, that you cause men to give back to them. I thank you that you bring promotion. I thank you that you open new doors. I thank you that you give them favor. Lord, you give them divine inspired ideas. I thank you for increase, Father. I know that as we give, Lord, you promised that you would give us more back, because you are the ultimate giver. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you receive it, say amen. Say, thank you, Lord. The windows of heaven are open over my life. Blessings are chasing me down. Isn't that right? I want to ask you, as the ushers come by, please put your offering envelope and your Growth Track card into the bucket. And then lastly,
When you go out today, you'll see some tables with books and with CDs. We are giving away the books and CDs. We've had them in boxes, and I figure, why have them in boxes? If there's any book or CD that you like, you're welcome. If you'd like to leave a donation, you can, but you don't have to. Please take a look at them. God bless you. We love you, everybody. Invite someone to church this week.
We want to wish Bobby is going to be 21 tomorrow.
21 tomorrow.
21.
Woo! So 21.
We there's a big cake for us to share out there, and there's a small cake that's just for him. So we're going to go wish him happy birthday.
Happy birthday. God bless everybody. Turn to someone, tell them, I'm glad you were here today. We'll see you next time. Next Sunday, see you Wednesday.
And you will never fade away. Your love is here to stay by my side, and my light is shining through me every day. You will never fade away. Your love is here to stay by my side, and my light is shining through me every day.
How you doing? Good.
When you wake within